Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, Chicago really is a perfect backdrop for the Democrat National Convention and what Kamala Harris and John Tester have done to America and have in store for America. According to Fox News Radio, it was a bloody weekend in Chicago with at least 22 people shot, five fatally across the city, including one man who was gunned down just blocks from the DNC site on Sunday morning. And then on top of that, you've got these pro-Hamas sympathizers protesting in support of these Hamas terrorists in the streets of Chicago. Some reports are saying that tens of thousands of them are expected here throughout the week. And then on top of that, you've got the abortion mill, Planned Parenthood. They're offering free abortions. Free abortions and free vasectomies just blocks away from the DNC as well. So that's your coverage of the Democrat National Convention. One of our followers on X, Carlos Magnus is the name of this account. What's the message here to Democrats? They're also talking about all the boarded up windows. All these businesses have their windows boarded up because they're anticipating a lot of crime and a lot of violence, you know, because the Democrats are coming to town. If it was the Republican convention, they wouldn't be anticipating all the crime and violence on top of the existing crime and violence in the blue city of Chicago. But because the Democrats are coming to town, they've got windows boarded up. But anyway, Carlos Magnus says, what's the message here to Democrats? You won't be safe. And you should take yourself out of the gene pool. That was a tweet I got yesterday. Hey, let's jump right into the business news. We've got Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal here with us. Evelyn, great to have you on the show as always. And I guess, where do you want to start today?
Well, first, I want to thank everyone who helped make Dig-A-Days the biggest success ever. We had a record number of sponsors this year, and this event could not happen at all without these sponsors, and it takes a lot on their part to make it happen. Not only is there the cost of sponsorship, but they take time away from their busiest season of the year and bring equipment and booths, which again costs money. And then they provide volunteers who take time away from their busy weekends to make this happen. We literally had thousands of kids enjoying all that they provide, from riding the big trucks to playing in the sand piles and operating backhoes. There are just so many things that they can do, and they just love it. You just see these beaming faces. Well, some aren't beaming as the kids go. They're crying and not wanting to leave. So
it's like getting them out of the playroom. Here they are, you know, operating this heavy construction equipment and more, and getting them out of there is like, you know, kicking and screaming like you didn't buy them the candy they wanted at the grocery store. You're bringing them out of the playhouse. That's great. All right, Evelyn Pyburn, hold that thought. Yeah, congrats to everybody who made Dig-A-Days happen at the Montana Fair over the weekend. All right, back right after this.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blanton.
Most voters remain gloomy about the economy. In our Fox News survey, more than 7 in 10 rate it negatively. People feel a bit less negative about things on the home front, with about 6 in 10 giving their personal financial situation bad marks. While that's the best personal rating in 2 years, it's still worse by 11 points compared to how people felt during President Biden's first year in office. That's why the economy is such a priority for voters. About 4 in 10 say it will be the most important issue in their vote for president. That's nearly 3 times as many as, say, other top issues like immigration or abortion. More voters trust former President Trump to handle the economy than Vice President Harris by a 6-point margin. That's a smaller margin than we've seen recently. Trump had double-digit leads over President Biden on the economy in 3 of the last 4 Fox News surveys. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partial sun and some cloudiness today, some scattered showers and storms are possible, mainly in the afternoon. High temperature readings will range from about 90 in Bozeman to the mid-90s in Billings. For tonight, chance for a shower, storm early mainly. Lows from 53 in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. Then we'll see a chance for a few scattered storms on Tuesday, along with some sunshine. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, coming up on Monday's Montana Talks, Chris Ingett, a Purple Heart veteran who heads up Concerned Veterans for America Montana. He'll be in the house along with Darren Selnick. Darren Selnick was the lead of Veterans Affairs staffer inside the White House during the Trump administration. They're going to be leading a town hall, a statewide town hall meeting on veterans issues, but we're going to do a little bit of a town hall of our own. Monday's Montana Talks. Jump in on the conversation statewide 9 to 10.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mail and cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Evelyn Pyburn gave a nice shout out there to the sponsors of Dig It Days. I got to give a shout out as well of our friends at Brett's RV and Marine. You know, we through the Devil's Brigade chapter of the Special Forces Association here in Montana, we were able to get some incredible active duty Green Berets and, more importantly, their family members out there with them. You know, the kids were out on the water, tubing, surfing, everything, you name it, having fun. Brett's RV, they not only provided an incredible pontoon boat. This was like one of the coolest pontoon boats I've ever seen. It had like a fold-down bar with bar stools on the back of it, every 300-horsepower motor on it. But they not only provided the boat, they provided a three-man crew to help, you know, hook up the tube for the kids and drive the boat and everything. Got them out on Bighorn Canyon, Yellowtail Dam. And then Matt McDonald, you guys remember our friend Matt McDonald, who along with our friend Jake Penwell organized the big Yellowstone air show featuring the Blue Angels. Matt McDonald brought his surf boat out, his Montana Wake Company surf boat out. So we had a Brett's RV pontoon with a whole set of families, and then Matt McDonald had his surf boat out there for these families. It's just so cool to get out there and see it for a little bit before I had to pop back into town for the rally featuring Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. Evelyn, so many different topics we could cover this morning here, but you've shared more information. Last week we touched on this big summit, this energy summit that took place in Colstrip, and you got more details here about Colstrip truly becoming an energy hub, not just a coal town, but an energy town, as Northwestern Energy's CEO put it.
Yes. They had a lot of presenters at the Southeastern Montana Energy Conference in Colstrip. And I think that energy development should be at the top of the news because it is so important, not just to make sure we don't freeze in winter, but in order to expand the industry and our economy. Montana needs more energy production in order to do that. And also, one of the most interesting comments made by Brian Bird, the CEO of Northwestern Energy, is, and I quote, "We are going to see blackouts in this country," end of quote. And I, for one, don't want to see that happen because, as he pointed out, those blackouts are going to result in people dying. And I'm hoping that Montana is going to be saved from that. But the great irony of the climate crowd is that they are very concerned about our survival in the future, but quite indifferent to what we need to survive right now.
Good point.
Among the things that I think came to the fore was the fact that they're looking at the future expansion for more energy for the state. They're looking at nuclear, the modular nuclear units, and that Brian Bird said that is the future. And I am seeing this now more and more in national news, emphasis on what that technology holds and how it's being projected to be used. And so I think we're going to see that, whether it's the first expansion that Northwestern Energy does at Colstrip, I don't know. They said that they're going to operate the existing plant until it's not economically feasible, or you know, it doesn't make its way. But and then they're going to, you know, move into another process, maybe nuclear. And if there's issues to nuclear, like how much it's going to cost and the timing to get it permitted and everything, and if all that doesn't work out soon enough, Bird said that they are going to build another natural gas plant like they just completed in Laurel. And he said that that is also part of the future. There is 133 of those natural gas plants currently being built in the United States, and that number is going to double in the next 10 years, he said, because natural gas is such a clean fossil fuel. And
well, the other thing you've got here in the hot sheet this morning is about the transmission line. Not only does it appear that Northwestern Energy will acquire 55% ownership of the power plant in Colstrip, but when it comes to this $700 million for the North Plains Connector, a $3.6 billion, 3,000-megawatt high-voltage direct current transmission line from Center, North Dakota to Colstrip, which will increase transfer capacity by 1,400% between three regional entities and add 3,800 megawatts of new capacity. The significance here is they want the ability to have more power sharing with the East, the Upper Great Plains, the Dakotas, and less connectivity with the crazies out there in Oregon and Washington. That's what that tells me.
Yes. I mean, I don't think most people realize that there was no connectivity to the East with the power grid, you know, so we couldn't buy power from the East or sell it. And so this is going to be a huge benefit to Montana.
That's right, because we're not going to be reliant or facing the whims of the radical left-wing politics of Oregon and Washington. Instead, we get to work with our friends in the Dakotas and elsewhere that are a little more like us in terms of wanting the lights to be able to stay on. All right, hold that thought. Back with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal right after this.
You can plan barbecues and weddings. You can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Almost one quarter of U.S. farms and ranches do not have access to the internet. U.S. Census data says American farmers and ranchers did see moderate improvement, though, in internet access from the years 2017 to 2022. Across rural America, the percentage of farm operations or operator residences with internet access increased from 75.4% in 2017 to 78.7% in 2022. In all, there is still a surprising number of producers at 21.3% who do not have internet access. Many of the available options for internet aren't adequate for accessing precision agriculture in these rural communities, though. An FCC task force is recommending a minimum performance of 100 megabytes per second for downloading and 20 megabits per second for uploading to support precision agriculture. A Washington, D.C. circuit court panel has vacated a swath of government decisions denying a request from small fossil fuel refineries to be temporarily exempt from the renewable fuel standard. The circuit court ruled against the EPA, saying that the agency's rationale for denying all pending exemption requests was contrary to law, arbitrary, and capricious. I'm Lane Northland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, we always like to start with good news. Hey, Evelyn Pyburn, I got one other piece of good news to share with you. So last week, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I kind of went off on a rant about why does it take so long to open up a coffee shop in downtown Billings, Montana? And, you know, I'd been hearing that it's taking so long to open up a coffee shop downstairs. You know, we're at the top floor. Our studios are at the top floor of the DoubleTree Hotel in downtown Billings. And, you know, they've had a City Brew. They've had a Starbucks. They've had coffee shops in the corner downstairs, right on 27th and 1st, you know, before. So why does it take the city so long to green light a coffee shop being built? You know, they require this, they require that. I was just so absurd. It looks like they are now open. That Marble Coffee, which is part of the same Marble restaurant, incredible restaurant, they're now open. So anyway, but... Gal, isn't it crazy all of the roadblocks that some of these, liberal-run cities will put in place just to try to prevent businesses from getting up and running or to make it harder to get them up and running?
Oh, yeah, and they do that. It's just devastating to downtown Billings because people look at downtown and try to make existing buildings and stuff work for future businesses, and they have the planning department standing right there to make sure they don't do that. And these businesses move out to the West End or someplace where building brand new is less expensive than trying to remodel a building downtown because of that interference. And, it really is crazy. I hear lots of stories about crazy things that are imposed upon people just trying to get a business going. And, they seem not to understand that you can do things like that, but it has to happen incrementally. You don't start out with a huge amount to invest in something. It has to build.
You've got to start making money. You've got to start being open for business and being profitable. But for a lot of government, officials, well, they're getting paid no matter what. So, in fact, sometimes they justify their jobs. Well, look at what I did this week. I checked on this and I checked on that and I checked on this and I checked. In other words, we're paying you to stop entrepreneurs from being more successful. Okay, so anyway.
Are stopping houses from being built.
They're
the reason for the housing shortage.
Yeah. Speaking of housing and growth, Lewistown is already showing signs of population growth. This is according to the liberal Montana Free Press, but you've got some interesting numbers that they shared in the hot sheet this morning as well.
I didn't really know that Lewistown had gone up and down like it has in population. They said that in 1960, there were 7,400 people who lived in Lewistown, and then that dropped to 5,800. But it is climbing back up, and last year was like 6,149. But they anticipate that growing more because that new company, Vacom,
yeah, the engineering firm, the German engineering firm, yeah, that's moving in.
Right, and then also there's all this talk about them upgrading the silos for the Minuteman missiles and stuff in central Montana, and Lewistown would be the logical closest community to all of that activity. But I think it's already happening. I hear with greater frequency of businesses in Billings who have business going on in Lewistown or contracts and stuff like that. And as that, I really would expect Lewistown to grow. Maybe they would drop back after they build out the Minuteman missile replacement project. But Lewistown is just such a pretty, wonderful community. And I think in the future, people will be looking for an alternative to Bozeman or the big city atmosphere of Billings. And
they already have been from what we've been hearing. I know some people are probably listening in the Lewistown area right now saying, shh, don't tell everybody in Bozeman about Lewistown. Because, a lot of people have already been moving that direction because, they're starting to get crowded out of some of these other places. Or maybe you move to Bozeman trying to escape Portland, and then you realize, whoa, the liberal city government here is almost as bad as Portland. And so keep on moving.
This town is certainly a beautiful place.
Yeah. Evelyn, I know you had some interesting data when it comes to electric cars, electric vehicles, and how the feds are still trying to force EVs on the market despite all the failures we've seen in the last 3 years. If you can, stay with us here. We'll get to the Fox News up
from start to finish, and 74% of viewers.
America's listening to Fox News.
Yeah, I'll go back to these Lewistown growth numbers here in just a couple of minutes. Very interesting numbers here that are in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. Evelyn, thanks for sticking around. Yeah, you said you did some more digging, and the feds, despite all these failures pushing EVs, here they go again, huh?
Right. The Biden administration is trying to expand the electric car industry by giving money to cities and other governmental entities to replace fleet vehicles with electric cars and to install charging stations. And the claim is that this is being done at no charge because apparently spending tax money is free money.
That's how they look at it, yeah.
Yeah, but there's an organization called Climate Mayors who have been very gung-ho on this whole effort. And they've announced the second anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act. And nearly 350 climate mayors have announced a commitment to electrify at least 50% of municipal vehicles by 2030 while increasing electric vehicle chargers by at least 500%, with at least 40% of the charging infrastructure benefiting disadvantaged communities, which I don't know what that quite means. The last people who can afford an electric car are people who are disadvantaged, so I'm not too sure how that's going to play into it, but this all is aimed at the Biden-Harris administration's goal to make 50% of all new vehicle sales electric by 2030. And there's a lot of political pressure that's being applied to the auto and light-duty truck manufacturers to also make this happen.
Even as these auto dealer lights are just completely stocked full of EVs that aren't selling because they're not selling with the American people. But
and they're losing millions, billions of dollars, the manufacturers are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they said that the goal set in 2017 for electric vehicles was expected to be 3% by 2025, but battery-powered cars are already at about 8% of all the cars sold in the United States.
Yeah, you hit on something when you talked about the fact that, like, now they're trying to, force the federal fleet of all these vehicles and make them electric vehicles and then build these EV charging stations. Of course, they've already got them at their fancy paved parking lots. You think of all the dirt roads and the dirt parking lots across Montana. But no, the feds, they just throw your money around like crazy. It's your money, so they think it's free money, so they can just willy-nilly spend it however they think they want to, whether it's on EV charging stations for vehicles that people don't want or drag queen story hours in Ecuador. It's your money, not theirs. What do they care, right? Evelyn, appreciate the update as always. All right, quick break. Lots to get to right after this.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we have got a great lineup here on the show here throughout the morning, so we better sneak in as much as we can right now. You've heard we've got Chris Ingot with Concerned Veterans for America, Montana. He'll be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Plus, I want to play more audio from the rally featuring Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, who was in Montana on Friday. We've got photos and more on our Montana Talks website. Plus, in the 8 o'clock hour, Kash Patel. Are you guys familiar with the name Kash Patel? He was the chief of staff under the Trump administration. He was the chief of staff to the Secretary of Defense. Very interesting guy. Whenever I've seen him on Fox News or Newsmax or elsewhere in the past, rock solid when it comes to national security. But chief of staff to the Secretary of Defense. He was also deputy assistant to the president and senior director for counterterrorism at the National Security Council. But he wants to talk about this very important U.S. Senate race here in Montana. So great opportunity to catch up with Kash Patel in about 1 hour. Plus, Ashley Smith Thomas, we're going to talk about the Democrat National Convention officially getting underway today. But even some in the liberal media are going after Kamala Harris's price gouging plan. Here's what President Trump had to say about Kamala Harris's remarks. I don't know if you heard her quote. She talked about price gauging, not price gouging. She talked about price gauging, which proves to you that she was completely reading from a script that she didn't even write. She doesn't even know what she's talking about. She's just kind of like Joe Biden, just reading whatever script they put in front of her. Here's what Trump had to say about it during a weekend rally.
In her speech yesterday, Kamala went full communist. You heard that? She went full communist. She wants to destroy our country. After causing catastrophic inflation, Comrade Kamala announced that she wants to institute socialist price controls. You saw that. Never worked before. Never, ever worked. This is the Maduro plan, Venezuela. Maduro plan of, like, the old Soviet Union. This is, they tried it. How did the Soviet Union work out? It became Russia, a smaller version. It was a smaller version. It will cause rationing, hunger, and skyrocketing prices. Just
now, Kamala's policies are so crazy that even the liberal media is attacking it in some corners here. The Washington Post had a headline, "When your opponent calls you a communist, maybe don't propose price controls." Fox and Friends First earlier this morning had more of those headlines.
Anything that smacks of price fixing, you know, that I don't think works.
Is this plan to ban price gouging anything more than a gimmick, Governor?
I think it speaks to Kamala Harris's values.
Seems like totally unworkable, first of all, for the FTC to be deciding, like, how much Kroger charges for eggs.
Is this just a ploy? Because it sounds kind of like it. But is it really policy? I mean, price gouging?
Well, Kevin Rampell, the Washington Post columnist and NewsHour contributor, said it's impossible to exaggerate how bad this policy is. And I agree with that.
Fox News contributor Joe Contra joins us now. Joe, is the honeymoon over, or is this merely a lover's quarrel in the media?
Ooh, I like
be
that.
Back circling the wagons for the rest of this week around Kamala.
Wow, Todd, you are better at this than you are at the weather. So congratulations on that question.
Thank you.
Look, yeah, lovers quarrel, but it's penetrating. I mean, we are witnessing a major shift in this race. That started on Friday when Kamala Harris, in the words of Donald Trump, quote, went full communist, unquote. I mean, first, she wants to give first-time homeowners $25,000 each to buy a home. Was this person alive in September 2008? Subprime mortgages, bad loans to people who couldn't afford to pay them back. It resulted in the worst collapse of this economy since 1929. And she thinks that's a good idea? I mean, good luck with that, because she must think there's enough stupid people out there. And then she's offering, as you just mentioned, government-run price controls for alleged price gouging by evil food stores like Kroger, for example. food stores have a profit margin of somewhere between 1 and 2%. The margins are so thin. If this were actually were to come to pass, those businesses would be out of business and you would have food shortages. I mean, they tried it in Venezuela, Argentina, the old Soviet Union. They even tried it here in the United States under Richard Nixon. And every time the government capping prices arbitrarily, if you just read history, when they please, that has failed miserably. And as you just showed, CNN, Washington Post, just hammering Kamala Harris over this plan.
All right. Now, this was interesting, too, and it ties in with this conversation here. Tim in Savage out there on the Mondakistan border, Montana-North Dakota border. Do you guys remember when this kind of went viral, a while back? There was a guy who was shopping online at Walmart. Online shopping at Walmart. And something like 3 years ago, he went to buy a bunch of groceries online through Walmart. But he never actually bought the items and picked up the items or had the items delivered. So he went back a few weeks ago and he was looking in his cart. And he could see all these old items in there. So he thought, so he basically refreshed those items from 3 years ago. And the prices went up astronomically. When they recalculated what the prices were from 3 years ago when he first tried to buy the items to now, the prices went up astronomically, which shows you that, you know, they'll sit there and say, well, inflation in Montana is up 22% in the last 3 years. Well, yeah, that's the official number, but you guys have seen your bills. It's way worse than that. In all reality, especially for specific items. Well, Tim and Savage, apparently he says he likes to use Amazon Subscribe and Save so he can get certain things auto-delivered. You know, staples like toothpaste, laundry detergent, things like that. So he gets some things where he does the Subscribe and Save auto-delivery. Well, he says he just opened up an email informing him of price increases. Because he got the same items 3 months ago. Increases from $8.70 to $10.61. Another increase, $25.48 to $29.86. He says, for the J school grads, for the journalism school grads, that's 17% and 22%. Over 3 months. And then he adds this, and this is Trump's fault, right? My goodness, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Look, the Biden tester inflation, the Kamala Harris inflation, Kamala-nomics, Bidenomics, whatever you want to call it, we're all paying for it. And then our money's going to all these other countries. It's going to illegal aliens. Our veterans are getting, you know, shafted here. But yet, you know, John Tester is chairman of the VA committee. He's got VA personnel helping illegal aliens process health care claims. That's what's happening. No wonder John Tester is in all-out hiding right now. He's even hiding from the Democrat National Convention. He is so scared right now. By the way, speaking of John Tester, Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy challenging Tester to several more debates, you know, after Sheehy dominated Tester in their first and so far only debate back in June. Now Sheehy is challenging Tester to several more debates and even offering up, hey, if they want to do a live debate right here on this radio show or others, Sheehy's ready and willing to do just that. He isn't scared, so why is Tester? Let's go to Nancy in Roundup before the next break. Nancy, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. Well, Kamala Harris's price control, I think it was kind of reminiscent. It reminded me of LBJ's Great Society, that between 1961 and 64, the country spent $3 billion on domestic programs that absolutely failed. Detroit, Michigan, and Chicago, Illinois, they felt the brunt of this with everybody buying them houses. And, of course, the people could not keep the houses. They couldn't pay the taxes or keep them up. But another example is on August the 15th, 1971, I think it was, President Nixon at that time, he proved just how dangerous unchecked executive powers can be to the free enterprise system that we have all grown accustomed to and our country has been founded on. So this has been done before, we all have heard, and also in other foreign countries. And it's just not going to work, and it's preposterous. I mean, we have
fails every time.
And to keep this crazy woman out of the White House, we have to.
That's right. Yeah, fails every single time, doesn't it? It reminds me of when they, people in what South American country was it? Brazil back in the day, they wanted to lower the price of beef because they wanted to be able to afford their own beef more. So they have price controls against beef, and then what happened? People went out of the beef business, and then they didn't have any beef.
This episode is brought to you by Buffalo Trace Distillery. Powerful yet smooth. Contained but never tame. Proudly going their own way, but never going alone. This is the spirit inside Buffalo Trace Bourbon. Made at Buffalo Trace Distillery, the world's most award-winning distillery. Buffalo Trace is always perfectly untamed. Distilled, aged, and bottled by Buffalo Trace Distillery, Franklin County, Kentucky. 90 proof, 45% alcohol by volume. Learn more at buffalotracedistillery.com. Please drink responsibly.
Fox News commentary.
The upcoming election may be looking bleak for Republicans, but there is a bright spot in one state. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
Interesting people are talking to Will Kane.
I said, what do I call you? I call you Dwayne. I call you The Rock. He said, now that I own it, I can call you The Rock.
Yes, I own it now. You can call me The Rock.
Our next guest needs no introduction. It is Dr. Jordan Peterson, my old friend and frenemy, Stephen A. Smith.
What is going on here? I see the Will Kane show in the background. I see the microphone.
Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday on FoxNews.com. And get the podcast 5 days a week at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
For as long as I've been alive, Florida has been a toss-up state, but that might be a thing of the past thanks to the leadership of Governor DeSantis and the Florida GOP. Get this, Florida now has over a million more registered Republicans than Democrats. This is the largest margin for the state's GOP since the 1980s, and it's a milestone moment for the Republican Party to celebrate. According to numbers reported by county election supervisors, Republicans now make up 39% of Florida voters, compared to 32% for Democrats, roughly 29% don't belong to either party and are up for grabs. Republicans in Florida control the governor's office, both houses of the legislature, both Senate offices. This is a huge testament to the exceptional leadership of Governor Ron DeSantis. If he isn't our presidential candidate in 2028, the Republican Party is foolish. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Code SHOWER to save 15% today.
I tell you what, there are locals in Lolo that are not that loco about being a part of Missoula County anymore, especially given the tax hikes and more. So I threw this question out on our Montana Talks website. Is it about time for Lolo, Montana to secede, to withdraw from Missoula County and become a part of Ravalli County? Check out the legislative
billings online at sfbreak.com.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you guys like food, you're going to really enjoy this event that's coming up. Actually, flip that headset around the other way. I apologize. All right, sorry, I should have done a mic check here with our great guest in studio. All right, there we go. We're ready to roll here. We've got Ryan Hendrickson in the house with U.S. Foods. Ryan Hendrickson operates out of Billings. But, Ryan, you were telling me you were in Spokane, Washington recently at this incredible food festival, and you were like, man, we got to do something like this in Montana. And you're about to make it happen pretty soon here, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. We've been planning this for the past 2 years. I moved back home to Billings after being gone for 28 years, 3 years ago, and called Adam Hegstead, the founder of the Eat Good Group and the Crave Food Festival, and convinced him to bring it to Billings. So here we are. It's about to happen this Saturday.
Yes, Saturday, August 24th, Crave Northwest, Crave NW, celebrating culinary excellence at Zoo Montana in Billings, a culinary extravaganza. How do you describe the food that's going to be on hand this Saturday so far of what you know about?
Well, the theme is foods from around the world, street fair, carnival style. So there'll be a lot of different food items to savor.
Yeah, that's great.
You mentioned as well as drinks, breweries and wineries, and some non-alcoholic like Tractor Beverage is going to be there as well.
That's great. Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of we got Warrior Taste Fest coming up September 6th in Bozeman, benefiting Warriors in Quiet Waters. And I know eventually you want to do a big culinary festival like this, you know, in the Bozeman or Big Sky area eventually as well.
Yeah, eventually we'd like to do that. We're testing the waters right now with the one-day festival. It is a three-day festival. So next year we hope to bring it to Billings all 3 days. Where you have Thursday night is Hoedown Showdown, which is country western comfort food theme. And then Friday is foods from around the world. And Saturday is fire and smoke. Those are the three themes for Crave.
Nice. I like that fire and smoke in particular. You mentioned Adam Hegstead. We've got Adam Hegstead on the phone lines with us from Spokane, Washington, with U.S. Foods and with this Crave Northwest Fest as well. Adam, man, how excited are you for Montana to finally get a taste of the action here?
Yeah, hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. How excited are you for Montana to get a taste of the action that you've been providing up there in Spokane?
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, Ryan convinced me to bring Crave over there because you have some great talent. I mean, you have some good people making some good food. You have some great breweries, wineries, and we really want to showcase that. It's $65, come in the door, you know, all you can eat and drink, and it's going to be a really good party.
So it's kind of like if you like to sample food, if you like to, you know, if you like going to, you know, like the grocery store and getting the food samples, it's like that, but on steroids, huh?
Yeah, we have 25 of the best chefs from around Billings. We have chefs coming from Philly. We have some of our chefs coming over from Spokane. And they're going to put out their best foot forward. It's going to be some really good food. And, you know, obviously the brewery wineries to complement that too.
Well, great to have you on the show. I know folks are going to be excited, and then our listeners elsewhere across Montana are going to be like, man, how do we do something like this in our neck of the woods as well? Ryan Hendrickson, how can folks get tickets, and what else do you want to share with folks before we run out of time?
Let me share a list of participants. We got Chef Adam Hegstead, who's on the line with us, Eat Good Group, Aaron Fish, Chef Brian Duffy from Philadelphia, as well as Nick Liberato from Philadelphia. Both of those guys are celebrity chefs. Mary Marie Weaver, Daniel Gleason, Jason Hagenson, Corey Trayman, Casey Erb, Josh Cannon, Pete Gatto. Big Dipper is going to be there scooping ice cream, Tractor Beverage Company, Mazevo Coffee. You got Bin 119, Burger Dive, Carver's Brazilian Steakhouse, Granite Peak Distributing, Honey Eatery and Social Club, La Taqueria, Montana Sky Restaurant, On the Rocks, 10 at the Northern, The Back Porch, Roundup, Buffalo Block, The Granary, High Horse Saloon, By All Means Brewery, Carter's Brewery, Summit Cider, Current Seltzer, Imagine Nation Brewing, Laughing Dog Brewing, Uber Brew, and Georgia's Distributing will be pouring wine.
My goodness. CraveNW.com. CraveNW.com is the website for the event coming up. Hey, coming up on Monday's Montana Talks, Chris Ingett, a Purple Heart veteran who heads up Concerned Veterans for America Montana. He'll be in the house along with Darren Selnick. Darren Selnick was the lead of Veterans Affairs staffer inside the White House during the Trump administration. They're going to be leading a town hall, a statewide town hall meeting on veterans issues. But we're going to do a little bit of a town hall of our own. Monday's Montana Talks. Jump in on the conversation statewide, 9 to 10.